We are still in the 16th chapter, but we're going to be all over the entire Tanakh today. 16th chapter, verse 17, verse 18, verse 9 and 10 and 11. This is the 16th chapter of what book?
Bereishit.
By the way, it's very fascinating for a lot of you who have maybe not aware of it, maybe you are, or have you heard about it. But basically, if something is not within the book of Genesis, the rest of the Bible is incomplete. Everything you see in the prophets, whatever you see in the rest of the Torah, whatever you see in the writings, whatever you see in the New Testament, you'll find it in the book of Genesis. And the core is trying to figure it out where it's at, right? Book of Genesis is the reason why it's called the beginning, because that's where you begin. And inside of it tells you an awful lot of things. I like the book of Genesis. It's very fascinating. Every time I look at it, I find more fascinating things. So 16th chapter, verse 7, there's a very interesting Hebrew phrase. So we're going to go through this Hebrew phrase today with some extent. And the reason why is not because you don't know it, because I want to be able to have you have a broader, should I say, or more in-depth phrase of what this is all about. Most of your translations in English are going to say, angel of the Lord. Do you see that? Okay, in Hebrew, Malach Yahweh. Or Malach Yahu, however you wish to pronounce that name. It's very consistent throughout the Bible. It's well over 100 times that phrase is used. Now, it's not in a plural form. You'll never find that in a plural form. It's always in a singular. Now, this is very interesting. As we go through this particular story, we're going to find out a little bit about this particular Malach. We will talk about what the name means, not what we think it means. All right? It's got a lot of quote meanings in the Bible, but there is a different in Hebrew terminology, which we in our English world have turned it around into a nice English word, and we don't really have a handle over what that really means. And we see the picture and what the actions of this particular angel, this particular Malach, you will see something that is different than perhaps your visions in the Christian world have had. A lot of you in the Christian world probably have said, I have seen an angel, or an angel has talked to me. Well, I want to be careful with that terminology, because biblically speaking, we're going to talk about what the action of an angel is. All right, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. They just don't go around doing nothing. They carry out the orders. They just don't give you a quote message in a quote. They carry out an order. This particular one we're going to talk about today, he's mentioned more than any other angelic being in the entire Tanakh. All right. Now, a lot of people try to figure out what his name is. We'll go through that in a minute. So they have it nailed down to a core. Well, I shouldn't say in a minute, maybe about half hour. No, okay. But I want to focus in on this because there's something we have to listen very carefully, what this particular one's going to say. And it says here, 7th verse, now, Malach Yahuwah, or Malach Yahweh, came by her and the spring, by the spring of the water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And I went through this last week, what those means. Verse 9. And Malach Yahuwah said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself into her hand. Then Malach Yahuwah said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for the multitude. Now see, he says, I will multiply it. I will take charge of this. I will do this. All right. Let's pay attention now, because as we go through this story, you're going to find out a little bit more about this Moloch. All right? It's very important. Verse 11, and Moloch Yahuwah said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Yishmael." Because why? Yahweh, or Yahuwah, has heard your affliction. So this angel now is telling this particular, what's her name now?
Hagar.
Which means?
Flee.
The fleeing one. Okay, that's how she got her name, was after the fact, not before. You don't name a baby fleeing. You know, that doesn't work, even in any kind of language. You know, hey, fleeing, you don't do that. You know, what happens, what took place in her life, she became one who was fleeing. And fleeing for what? Her life. All right, that's what she was doing. Now, we'll go to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. It says, "Do with Abraham," and you recognize the story. We'll not go into details of what the story is about today. Just want to pay attention to what this particular Moloch had to say and his actions. All right? Then we'll kind of get a little picture. Remember, we have this picture here now with Hagar, and he says, "I will do this." So this angelic being has certain kind of ability, shall we say, to do things. Verse 11, Genesis 22. "But Malach Yahweh, called him and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' Therefore he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand upon the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know," that Malach Yahweh is saying this, "that you fear Elohim. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me," did you notice that?
Yeah.
"Me, Melech Yahweh, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram." The Bible is the same word that was used with Hagar, behind, and the same thing that Moses was behind, all those words, the same thing. That when Abraham heard the word, he looked up, and guess where he had to look? The voice came from behind him. He turned around. Oh, there was the ram that's in the thicket. He just didn't look up. He was in the process of cutting his son's throat. The voice came out. He looked up toward where the voice came from. And there was the ram in the thicket. Listen carefully. Drop down verse 14. "And Abram called the name of the place Yahweh will provide." We'll go, not explain that today at all. When we get to Genesis 22, we'll go into detail about that. "And to this day, and the mountain of Yahweh," or Yahu, shall provide. Verse 15. Listen carefully now. Did you notice this thing now? After he has done the sacrifice, after he's killed the ram, now who comes up to him again? Then Yahweh called Abraham a second time. All right. So now this instant, now this Moloch is calling out to Abraham again. Now he's going to make a quote. Verse 16, and said, "By myself I have sworn," says who?
Yahweh.
So now he is now quoting a quote. This Moloch is not just giving a message, now he's quoting a quote. He carried out the actions. He's the one that led Abraham to the place of slaughter, this son. And he says, "Now I know that you will do. You will hear what from me, the angel." We'll talk about him in more detail to understand how powerful this particular angel was. He is a proper control. But he does one thing. He not only hears, he carries out the order. From whom? From Yahu or Yahweh, or from Elohim, however you wish to talk about it. We'll talk about that in detail. He says now, this is what Yahuwah said, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is in the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Hmm. But see, he had to hear the voice of who first? Malach. He had to listen to the angel first. And then the angel said, because you have heard my voice, then I know you will do what I tell you to do. Pretty powerful angel, wouldn't you think so? Pretty powerful. Let's continue on. This is throughout the entire Tanakh. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. When we go through his verses, we'll back up a little bit. Exodus chapter 3, very verse 1. Remember, things are named after the fact, not before. Gotta be careful with this one. If I'm not mistaken, I'll tell you what I think I saw. I mean, so I've been seeing the Ten Commandments for decades, and I was a little kid when I saw it. But there was a comet made out of that thing, which I didn't understand at that point in time. Now I look back and I says, no, that wasn't there in the writings. I'll get to that in a minute. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Moreover, he led the flock to the backside, or the inside, the backside of the desert. Same word that was used when Abraham turned around to his backside to take a look and see where the ram was at. Remember I told you before, it's the voice, the prophecy, it's the voice that's behind you that will tell you, do not go to the left, do not go to the right. It's not in front of you telling you, by the way, follow me. That's not what the Eternal is after. What's he after? He's after seeing you walk the direction you were told to walk. You are to be your own leadership. How you become your leadership? You listen to the word of, or the Devarim Elohim, the words of Elohim, the words of God. Now, and he says there, and it came to Horeb. By the way, what do you know what Horeb means? Oh, that's the other minute. The mountain of God, or mountain of Elohim. Remember, it wasn't called the mountain of God until afterwards. It was that the hindsight label. And I think in Sesame to Bill's message that he had is that Jethro told him about this bushes burning on this mountain way out there, and this is called the mountain of God. No, that's not. Jethro never saw it. Jethro never knew it existed. It wasn't for Jethro to see. All right, it was only for one person to see. Now, this interesting word of Horeb, it means desolate. Desolate. Now, what do you think? When you think about the word desolate? Nothing's there. Yeah. Not even a bush. No life is there. All right? So now he comes up here, and it says here, and Moloch Yahweh, or Moloch Yahu, appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And we say, oh yeah, it's a miracle. No, no. It's a desolate place. All right. Now sometimes in our mind we say, oh, there's always a bush there. That's not what it says. It says a desolate place. When they returned back many years later to this very same mountain, there was no mention of a bush ever. In fact, had to crack a rock to get water out. Remember that? So don't picture in your mind there was a bush on top of this mountain. There wasn't. It was desolate. There was, who was there? Moloch Yahweh. Moloch Yahu. That's who was there. Now in this message, now listen carefully. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. When we get to Exodus, the third chapter, and the Torah, I'll try to go in more detail of what really transpired here, but that's not what my message is today. So then, Yahu saw that he, Moses, turned aside to look. Elohim called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here I am. Now the voice of Elohim comes out of the bush. But we'll get more technical here. Let's keep on knowing the story so we have a better picture of what we're seeing here. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals, your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. Why? Because Elohim is there. Therefore, he said, I am Elohim of your father, Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, and Elohim of Jacob. Moreover, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon the bush, afraid to look upon Elohim. Now, see, the voice came out of the fire. Okay, let's continue on. And Yahu said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and they have heard their cry, because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians and bring them up from the land to a good and a large land to add a flowing of milk and honey to a place where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel have come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians put upon them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and you may bring back my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said unto Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children out of Egypt? And he said, I will surely be with you, and this shall be the sign that I will send you. You will have brought them out of Egypt, and you shall serve Elohim on this mountain, Mount Horeb. And if you ever pay attention to the stories in the book of Deuteronomy, he's talking about this Mount Horeb. It's not Mount Sinai. Don't get the two confused. Yes. We'll get there when we get there, but don't get the two things confused. They're two separate fountains. Mount Horeb is where the water came from. Mount Sinai is where the fire was on. Two different areas. All right?
Two different continents, aren't they?
Sorry?
Two different continents, aren't they?
No. Two different mountains.
Okay.
Two different mountains. One was not as high as the other one. Well, we won't get there today. I'm not going to go with the explanation of that today. But I just want to get into this picture that we have an idea where we're going. And of course, he went on, and then Moses said to Elohim, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say, verse 13, and say who they are, the Elohim of your fathers have sent me, and they say, well, what is his name? What shall I say? Now we have identification of who this Elohim is, right? What's his name? Yeah, Asher, yeah. Yeah, Asher, yeah. That's his name.
I am that I am.
Now you tell him, yeah, sent you. Now how come we turned it around and we don't call it yeah, Asher, yeah, or yeah? Why do we say this? Now we say Yahu. Why is it reversed? Do you want to know why? To put in a very simple language, we'll try to do our very best. When you say Yahu, you're saying he is that he is. All right? He is has sent you. We'll get to that later on when it's explained the name in the reverse order. And so he couldn't come to Israelites and say, Yeah, Yahshua sent me. No, who are you? You know? But you remember there's someone in the New Testament who said that? He says, before Abraham was, yeah. Ooh, that made him mad. They don't use that phrase. Yes?
Basically, the difference between first person versus third person.
That's correct. The simplicity of the matter. Now, let's go to Numbers. We'll get to a backup of what I'm trying to get across here in a little while. I want to get used to this word and this terminology. We'll go through more and more of this Malach Yahu. All right? And we'll find out what his real name is. Numbers 22. Everybody got the computer typing. Let's get the people got a computer. Go there real quick. You have to thumb through. You know. So anyway, Numbers 22 and verse 23. I'm not going to go through the story of it prior to this. When I get to Numbers 22, I will talk to you more in detail. And the donkey saw Malach Yahweh or Malach Yahu standing in the way with his sword, drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey on the back to get back on the road. Verse 24, and then Malach Yahu stood in the narrow path between the vineyards, and a wall on one side and a wall on the other. And when the donkey saw Malach Yahweh, or Yahu, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he struck her again. And then Malach Yahu went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And the donkey saw Malach Yahu. She laid down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was aroused and struck the donkey with his staff. And then Yahu opened up the donkey's mouth, and the donkey said something. What did the donkey say?
Why'd you beat me three times?
Am I not your donkey? Verse 30. On which you have ridden, and ever since I became yours to this day, was it ever disposed of you to do this? No. For me to do this? No. Verse 31. Then Yahweh opened Balaam's eyes. Oh, wow, now the eyes are opened. Now, it's not the angel of the Lord that did it. We're talking about Yahweh himself doing it. But, you know, we won't get to this yet. But we're going to get to what happens now. Now, what did Balaam see? That's right. And, wow, standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, Balaam was good as dead. The angel was going to kill him. Right? He was going to kill him. That's the third time. Going to kill you. Now, the conversations between him, Yahweh's no longer mentioned here. Now the conversations between him and this angel. Powerful. And he says now, stand away, and verse 22, and Malach Yahweh said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before
me. Yeshua.
He didn't say before Elohim. He didn't say before Yeshua. He said before me. Pretty powerful guy, isn't he? Would you think this particular angel has more power than you think? Mm-hmm. He's carrying out an order. He was told to do something. We'll get back to where he was told to do this in a minute. And you will see this particular one has more power and more authority to do things that you never knew that he could do. And we always assume when we see this Malach Yahweh that it's really Yahweh doing all the talking. It's really Yahweh doing all the actions. No, it's the angelic world. The angel here is doing all of the actions that he has carried out to do. Because why? Well, we'll find this out. Let me and you have an answer, I know you might. We've got to get more specific with his name to understand exactly why he can do what he can do. Verse 34. Balaam said to Malach Yahweh, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. What did he sin against? He sinned against his donkey. Okay. Now, therefore, if it displease you, I will turn back. Now, this is the conversation between the angel and not Yahweh and Balaam. And the angel of the Lord, or Malach Yahweh, said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word which I speak to you, you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And now, when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to greet him in the city of the Moab, and so on and so forth. Now, verse 34. Now Balaam said unto Balak, look, I have come to you now, and I have power at all to say anything. The word of Elohim puts in my mouth what I must speak. So now we have a picture. This particular Elohim, this particular Yahweh, or this particular Moloch was speaking the words of Elohim. But this angel has a lot of power. We will see Yahweh or Yahu talking to this angel and saying, no more. And this angel did no more. Don't get him confused with anything else. Just know what he is. We'll get to a definition of what it means in a minute. Be aware with me. The reason why I'm going through these things, because going to be long and drawn out, there's something very important that we need to know about the angelic world. See, in the Christian world, we think they're nice and sweet and lovely. Oh, she's such an angel. Oh, he's such an angel. If he was an angel of the eternal creator of heaven and earth, he would be carrying out, and she would be carrying out, the actions and deeds and duties that they were commanded to do by the creator of heaven and earth. And beware when you call your little daughter an angel. Well, if she's one of them, you're in trouble. You better obey everything she says. Of course, you know you're not going to do that, right? No kid of mine is going to be called angel and get away with it. You know, biblically speaking, I mean, we have this word in our English language which sounds sweet. Sometimes we call a dog an angel. You know, or we may call something an angel. That's such a nice, sweet little word, you know. Anyway, that being said, let's go to Judges chapter 2. We went through now the first five books. We see it's there, except in the book of Leviticus. Just that name does not show up in the book of Leviticus. It doesn't need to be. Different reason why it's not showing up in the book of Leviticus. We're not there yet. But talk about the angelic world. You remember what Yeshua said? Do not offend. That's kind of a nice word in English. One of these little ones. Why? They behold the face of God. They're going to report to God, this took place, and guess what God's going to say to that angelic being? Go back and wipe the person out who has offended one of those little ones who have worshipped and cared and cherished my son. Get rid of them. You don't think God would do that? Well, we'll go through here. We'll find out exactly what he does. You don't disesteem the name. You don't even disesteem the actions or disesteem who Elohim is on any level whatsoever, because he will make payment through you. How he does it? We think it's by, God lifts his hand up from protection and doesn't do anything, let's happen. I'm seeing here not that. I'm seeing here sending his angels to do the destruction. Job?
10th plague in Egypt.
Right, we'll get, yeah. Egypt, different story. Anyway, we're getting it because it's very important. I hope I can be able to fulfill our first holy day. I might address this in more detail. But, you know, it's very important. We're at this point coming to the Passover time, and sometimes we look at this thing and call it the angel of death. I've heard many people say, that's the devil. Wait a minute. Look at what's happening here. This guy had a sword in his hand. What was he going to do? Kill.
Smote him.
Wow. Well, the devil would love to kill. But you remember, he was held back from that. But Job, he couldn't kill him. Mm-hmm. You remember that? You could do this and do that. God didn't lift his hand. He just gave Satan an order to do something. Satan carried out the order. What could he do? Disobey? Well, he could have, but he didn't. Judges, chapter 2, verse 1. Here's his name. Angel of the Lord comes up. Malach Yahu. Come up from Gilgal to Bethshem. We'll get to that word in a minute. And said, I led you, this is what the angel's claiming, I led you from Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. You shall not obey my voice. You have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I said, I will not drive them out for you, but you shall be. And what this means, by the way, in Hebrew, what is your hair? Some says thorns in your side.
Thorns
and stuff. In Hebrew, that's not what it says. That they shall be to you for adversaries or adversities. And their Elohim shall be a sluice, a trap for you. That's what it says in Hebrew. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? There is not a thorn in the side. And we think, oh, I got a thorn in the side. No, they are adversaries. They're going to be constantly at war with you. And remember Daniel went through the book of Judges? Constantly at war, constantly at war, constantly at war. They were constantly adverse, constantly causing chaos, constantly causing trouble to the land because Moloch always says, I'm not going to do it anymore because you disobeyed me. It's a pretty powerful statement, he said. We'll get to the reason why he said that. Yes?
Is this the same adversary as prophesied over Ishmael by the angel? He will be in the face of his brother. He will be an adversary to his brother.
We'll get there. You got it. I mean, no, you'll get it. It's coming up. And I'll get to that. Yes, we'll be there. Okay. He's going to carry out the orders. Now, to go on down to, let's go to verse 4 here for a minute. We're going to read the whole thing. And he said, Malchaweh spoke these words to the children of Israel, and the people lift up their voice. And they called the name of the place, what? Bochim. Remember, it wasn't called that before. You know what Bochim means? Weepers. Jeepers, weepers. Weepers. So they called the place, because why? They cried. They wept. So he didn't go to Gilgal to the place of the weepers. He went to Gilgal to a place, and Gilgal became the place of the weepers. Okay? No more. These are fascinating, named afterwards. One real quick one. You don't have to turn there. This is during Deborah's time. And she had a poem, and she read off the poem. And one of those liners was, Cursed Nazot. Says Malchiahu, cursed is the inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to help Yahweh, to help Yahweh against the mighty, the ones they're going against. You know what Mizro means? Refuge. So the people, certain people of Israel that didn't want to go to war during Deborah's time, they were in a refuge. And guess what? The angel of the Lord cursed them. Cursed them bitterly. Now, you think this angel's got, he takes a charge of authority he didn't have? Let's get there. Yes?
You're probably going to get to this, but does this have a lot to do with what Yeshua said do these things in my name.
Continue.
When he talks about casting out demons, healing people, in his name's sake, that we are to operate in his name's sake as these Melech operates in Yahweh's name.
We're going to get there, right. You're getting, yes, but I'm taking it to the Orthodox area right now because I want to go in the Testament. Okay. But you're getting the message. That's very powerful. All right. So, anyway, let's go on. Don't need to go through all of this here. I got so many notes, I need to cut it short now. I want to go Judges, the 13th chapter. Very fascinating story. Daniel went through this. Now, there's several places in the book of Judges that talks about the angel of the Lord. The Judges 6 chapter, verses 20 to 22, talk about the angel of the Lord to find out how to deal with Gideon. And you'll find out a little more detail. It was Gideon who was talking to, and he was talking to. And so we know that he said, no, I'm going to make you strong, so on and so forth. In Judges 13th chapter, we have a very unusual story. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Hey, this has to do with, of course, the birth of Samson. Remember? Now, the story is very fascinating. I want to go through everything here because it's really pretty quick. And anyway, this is where Daniel went through this process. Mahalahu appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have no born children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful to what you drink and to what you, not everything else you drink, and do not eat anything that's unclean. Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall be upon his head. He's a Nazarite of Elohim from the womb, and he shall deliver the children of Israel out. And so the woman went, and she would talk to her husband. She says, the man of Elohim, we'll find out that's what she called it because she had no name. We'll get to the point here in a minute. And his countenance was like the, listen, his countenance like the what?
Angel of Elohim.
I know. Listen, I want to ask you a question. Before I ask the question, I want you to think about this for a moment. They went through this whole process. They still didn't know who his name was. Verse 31. Go through this whole story yourself. Verse 31. And when Moloch Yahweh appeared to them no more, Manoah, his wife, then Manoah knew that he was what?
Moloch Yahweh.
Yeah. Now, we have the story from Hagar, right? Then we have Abraham, right? Twice with Abraham. Mm-hmm. Then we go into the book of Numbers, Exodus. Then we have this with Moses. And the book of Numbers with Moses again. Now we're going to the book of Judges, and we see it several times now, don't we? Mm-hmm. Do you think it was probably more common to them they had known who Moloch Yahweh was? Or was he just a name? They knew something, the face. They knew. It was a common thing. They're fully aware of this angel who has a lot of power. They knew who he was, and they had to obey him. They knew they had to obey him. When they didn't obey him, we'll get to this point. When they didn't obey him, they had to pay a very heavy, heavy price in the hands of that particular angel. Mm-hmm. Very heavy price, and they lost a lot of lives. Now, we may have to think of his name for a moment. But I'm not there yet. But now we see that he seemed to be well known throughout the entire Tanakh. If you keep searching the thing, you'll find that name showing up quite often in the prophets. They're all over the place. Oh, wow. Where are we going with this thing? What's the purpose of all this? You see it written in the book of Psalms. There it was. Even during David's time, they knew who Moloch Yahweh was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Yahweh, it was an angel. A specific one. Ever thought about that before? Mm-hmm. Let's go through a few things here. Just wrap up. Dealing with Hagar, his function was to tell her to return. You remember that? He tells her that she was to have a son and told her what his name was to be. He also told her that Ishmael will not be under Abram, and that his descendants would always be present with their brethren, the descendants of Isaac, and will fight their brethren. He then tells her this because Yahweh heard her. Remember? Oh, God heard you. Yahweh heard you. Now, this is what I'm telling you first. Now, one other thing. Abraham, remember? He heard this voice from heaven of Melechahu. Did not to kill Isaac. For now he knows that Abram fears Elohim. Abram looks behind him and sees the ram. Next time he talks to him, Abraham, and he gives up a message from Yahweh. And the second time he talks to Abram, he's given a message, direct word message from Yahweh. Did you ever notice that? Okay, I want you to pay attention to some of those things. There's one thing that's very fascinating. In this particular message, God added one major thing to it. What did he add to it? Your descendants will control the gates of your enemy. That wasn't said way back in the very beginning in the 12th chapter. Now another addition. Why? Because Abram did not hold back his son's life. He obeyed. Powerful. Okay? Now what else? We know this Melchizedek was in the bush. They didn't burn up. Didn't burn up at all, right? And in Numbers, we find this Melchizedek is seen by the donkey. And the donkey tries to save Balaam's life. And Yahweh allows the donkey to speak and to see. And what do you see? He saw this guy who's going to kill him. He saw this angel. Melchizedek is going to kill him. In the book of Judges, first time we have it there, the people of Israel did not drive out the people. And guess what Melchizedek said? He's not going to do it for them. Next, during the time of Deborah, Melchizedek cursed Mosorah, means the ones of faith, because they didn't fight. And third, Melchizedek came to Gideon, and once again, the conversation between him and Melchizedek, and he's going to make, you're going to go to war. And the last one is with Samson's father and mother. And guess what? They did exactly what they were told to do. All right? Now, I want to turn back now to Exodus 23. A very important area. A lot of people have had tried to figure out that this particular angel's name is Michael. No, it's Gabriel. No, it's... All right, it's the... Well, find out his name now. We'll find out his name now. Huh?
Exodus
23. I don't know about anybody believes. I've just heard what people say stuff, different things.
Exodus 23.
Oh, Exodus 23. Yes.
Where are we?
Exodus
23.
Acts 23. Exodus 23.
Shimon.
Shimon. Okay. Oh, I don't know. Each one of you got your own translations and everything else. Behold, and here Yahweh is speaking, by the way, verse 20. I will send, in most English words, an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place where I have prepared. Now the warning comes from Yahweh, and it says, beware of him, this angel, and obey his voice. Why? Do not provoke him. Why? For he will not pardon your transgressions. Wow. Didn't say he can't. He says he's not going to do it. And we're going to find out a very major transgression took place. And then it provoked this angel. And then Yahweh said to this angel of the Lord, no more. And the angel of the Lord stopped. All right. So now he says, what's the last part? For my name is in him. What do your other translations have? Anybody else has the translation? Anybody else, any other translation? Yes.
Resides in him.
What does yours say?
Resides in him.
Resides in him, okay. It's horrible in English. It's really poor in English. I don't why they wrote that way in English, I don't know. They took that entire Hebrew word that doesn't exist. They said, oh, that shouldn't be there. Just take it away. So he just used the word in him. Okay. Now there's a Hebrew word that's in between there. I'm going to go through that Hebrew word. To literally translate it, we'll go to Berkirbo. 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 Instead of just bo or ben, like Bereshit, Berhim, it doesn't have that word there. It says Berkirbo. Kirbo. Kir. K-I-R. Kirbo. What that means is very strong. Basically, it means, to simplicity, the inward part. My name is in his inward part. My name is amongst him. My name is within him. My name is part of him. He is part of my name. My name is part of him. How else can you make it simple in English? So what's his name?
Yeshua.
What?
Yeshua.
No, that's not his name. What is his name? Malach Yahuwah. He's got the complete name. He's got the complete name. He didn't have part of the name. He has the complete name. And when that name is so powerfully used, that angel who has the name, who is within him, is the name within him and amongst him, which is part of his, and we'll get to this word later, inside of his, what we would call the soul of this angel, is the name. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He's still an angel. Well, now we have to go find out what an angel means. Help us, we find out what this name, that name was within this angel, part of this angel, connected with the angel, cannot be separated from the angel, it cannot be divided, it cannot be separated, it's one word. And the one word is Malach Yahuwah, or Malach Yahweh. That is his name. He has no other name listed. And all of Tanakh, no other name, just that name. He doesn't go by any other title. He goes that name only. And Yahuwah talks to him and says, no more Malach Yahuwah. Don't go any farther. And Malach Yahuwah stopped. So this Malach Yahuwah obeys the name. He'll do it. That's how closely connected this one is. That's the one that brought them out of Egypt. That's the one that went through judges with them. That's the one that went through Abraham. The one that went through Hagar. The one that went through the Israelites coming out of Egypt. The ones that went through King David. The ones that went... We have a real nasty one with King David, by the way. Mm-hmm. Really nasty one with King David. Very nasty one. He provoked. David provoked. Mm-hmm. And he had to pay a serious, serious debt. Now, let's go through some words, though, on this thing, because I think it's very important. Genesis 23, Genesis 24. You don't have to turn these. You write these notes down if you want to, because I'm going through pretty fast. Genesis 24. And I will make you swear by Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven and the Elohim of earth, that you will not take a wife of my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. It's the same word, Hebrew word, within whom I dwell. So now we have this name that's dwelling inside of this angel. All right. Exodus 17, verse 7. He shall call the name of the place Massah and Meribah because the condition of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, and the Lord, Yahweh, among, because they said, is Yahweh among us? He's with us. He's a part of us. He's connected with us. He's near to us. He's a part of our lives. And they got a curse because of that. Go down one more plate. Go to Jeremiah 3, Jeremiah 9, chapter 8, verse. The tongue is a narrow shot. Is an arrow, rather, shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peacefully with his neighbor, with his mouth. But in his heart, he lies in wait. Is that Hebrew word for within, among, connected. So now we have a little bit of connection. That name is within the very being of this angel. That's how close that angel is to Yahweh.
That was Jeremiah 1?
Jeremiah 8, 9, verse 8. Jeremiah 9, verse 8. So now we know this angel's name includes the name of Yahweh. A very powerful one, all right? We're going to get to an area that I want to go to. And it's the whole word angel. What is an angel?
Messenger.
Okay, what else?
It's a created being.
Okay. What have you learned so far about this particular angel? What have you learned from him? Is he just the one that gives messages? Or is he one that carries out the message?
Yeah.
This is what angels do. They carry out the message. Not your message, his message. This particular one responds directly to Yahweh.
Like it's with actions and words.
Do you understand? And when you research this, you'll find that this word malach is translated several places as, it can be translated as ambassador, it can be translated as a messenger, it can be translated as a king. And when you read the era of the king, it's more like a sub-king. He's not really a king. It's not Melech, that's malach. And he is really obeying somebody else. He's answering, carrying out some other king. But that's another issue. And it can refer to a prophet. You think a prophet is a messenger? Or do you think a prophet is a angel?
Yeah.
What is a prophet supposed to do?
Speak the
word of the Lord. Well, you think this angel speaks the word of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, he does. He's very powerful. And we have to kind of recognize that. The reason why I'm saying that, because Apostle Paul said something. You, some have entertained angels unaware. Now that, he's just not saying, oh, you had a party with them, you had a glass of wine with them, you had a fun with them, and they just took off.
Yeah.
Some of you, I'm not saying this is not true, it didn't happen to you, but I'm saying a lot of people have saying, well, you know, an angel protected me and guided and protected me. Well, that's not because of you, it's because he's given orders to do so. He doesn't obey you, he obeys one person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth. All right, now, I want to go on to... there are all things called angel of God, which I can't get to. He just took off. Oh, he's over there. I wanted to get into the thing with what he said about Ishmael, but I'm running out of time. Okay, but you understood that was all about anyway. Okay, now we're going to go to a very harsh portion. I'm going to try to wrap this thing up as quick as I can. It's 2 Samuel chapter 24.
Quick question, Richard. So I guess that exposes the lie that we can dispatch angels.
Correct.
Okay.
2 Samuel, what?
24th chapter. What? Yes.
But you can pray for the dispatching of angels.
Oh, that's right. But you're addressing the only one that can give the order. Now, don't call upon angel for your sake. You call upon angel by us through using his word, using his name. You don't do anything, and if you use his name in vain, you're in bad shape. All right? An angel may come and do just the opposite of what you had in mind. Samuel, 2 Samuel, trying to wrap this thing up, people. It's already 2:30. All right, I'm going to try to get this passed as quick as I can. We will only begin to start verse 1. I'm not going to explain this at all. Just hear what it says. Again, the anger of Yahweh rose against Israel, and he moved David to against them to say, go and number the house of Israel and Judah. Now, we know what took place. He did number them. And then after he numbered them, something took place. Now, I'm going to rapidly go through this again. This story is also written in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. It's more in detail. I would suggest that if you can have some time, read this section. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 31, the same section. Now, let's go down to verse 14. And David said unto God, actually that's how he pronounced his name, is God, although it's called Gilgad. Okay. He was a private. I'm in great distress. Please let us fall into the hands of Yahweh or Yahuh, and his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hands of man. In other words, rather take the cursing from God than from man. We ought it also be willing to take the punishment from God and not from man. Yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Now, let's go on. Verse 15. So Yahuh sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time. I'm not going to go there. For from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 or 70 clans, 70 families of armies, the people that died. And then the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it. And Yahuh relented from the destruction and said to the angel who is amongst the people, "It is enough. Now restrain your hand." And who did what? Melchizedek, or Yahuh, was by the threshing floor of Torah and Zebulun. And he didn't. He stopped. So who's the destroying angel?
Melchizedek.
Now this angel can deliver you, save you, give a tremendous amount of prophecies about you, protect you, goes out of his way, and like he do with Balaam, protect the entire family, entire clan of all of house of Israel from the curse that Balaam was supposed to pass upon them, to a point where you can arouse him to such anger. Now remember, his anger is going to come by and through who? Yahweh himself. So when we see this angel mad, he said, "Be careful, do not arouse him." Why? Because he does not pardon. His function is not to pardon. His function is to do a damage. So we can look at our country today. All of us have ideas of what's happening. You know, and when you look at what happened to the World Trade Center, what's incredibly fascinating about that, all seven buildings of the World Trade Center were destroyed quickly. I don't care how it happened. I don't care who did it. I don't care how it happened. But I look at this thing and God is saying, "I'm going to send my angel against this country. And we are going to pay for it." Why? We refuse to acknowledge the eternal creator of heaven and earth that he says in the book of Romans, "Because you have refused, I will send reprobate minds to rule you." Yeah. It's not that reprobate minds take over. He's going to send them to you. Right. Don't believe me? Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. He raised up Nebuchadnezzar for one reason and one reason only. To go against Judah. Yes. If you don't think God's not going to raise up somebody for our sins, didn't get there today because I wanted to get there today, but I couldn't. But he does say, "I will visit the sins in the appointed time against my people." Let's hope and pray. Now we can pray that the United States will get out of it. They won't. Because it'd be better, in a sense, that they be punished by God than punished by man. Even though he can kill them. You see, God can resurrect them from the dead. I said, "Do you get the picture now?" Because he's going to... We talk about terror. And God says, "I'm going to be the greatest terrorist you'll ever have. I'll terrorize you." You don't believe he terrorizes people?
Yep.
Look at Mount Sinai. He terrified them so much. They were so terrified, they couldn't think about anything else except how frightened they were.
Yeah.
When your mind is completely can't argue back and forth with this thing talking to you, and it's so powerful and so mighty, and it sounds like thunders of mighty voices of trumpets, so loud, so piercing, it's going to go down deep inside of you, and you're going to be so scared to death. What are you going to say after it's finished?
Oh my God.
Moses, you go talk to him. Why don't I hear him anymore? All right. So I just want to tell you this. As we talk about, you know, the angel of the Lord, he is going to be the hands of the Creator of heaven and earth who, I'm sorry, I disagree with, I'm not saying it's true, I just disagree with the whole world concept that God lifts his hand up from protection. Ah, yes, I can say yes, he does. However, when he lifts his hands up for protection, he's going to send in the other one. He's got two hands. You know that? He's got two hands. Not one. He's got two hands. One's got a sword in it. All right? The other one's got a shield in it. The shield is to protect. Your book is going to protect you. When he moves that shield, the sword's going to come. Yes?
Yeah, but he uses Satan and his minions like a great orchestrator.
And he uses his own angels around the throne. What are the 24 elders there for? For a joke? You think the four angels that are around the throne are there for a joke? No, they carry out the order. When you read those four horsemen of the apocalypse, you're reading the function of what each one of those four beings around the throne are carrying out and doing. It's not the action of man. God says in the very beginning in the book of Revelation, I'm going to reveal to you what I am going to do. It's written in the scroll. It's not a prophecy saying, oh, I think it's going to happen. No, he is bringing it about from the very beginning. And it's written there in Genesis. The hands of God is everywhere. He's in our lives. He's in your work. You go to work for life. Guess what? He's there. If he's not there, you're in sad shape. You're left alone. No protection. So you want that shield around you. You don't want that sword out. I know that in the Christian world, not against the Christian world, but sometimes the Christian world has gotten too far to picturing God as a bunch of lovey-dovey. And they don't even understand the Hebrew word for love. They got a mushy thing. They got a thing that's compassion. No, love is as action. Either I'm going to love you or I'm going to hate you. That's what he said. Either I'm going to love you or I'm going to hate you. Take your choice. Right hand, left hand. Which one you want? I want you to pick the one that's right. I want you to pick the one that's going to give you life. The other one, you're going to pick death.
Life.
I often wonder that left hand or right hand, whatever. The death one's got the sword in it. All right? The death one's got the sword in it. And people believe that the soul never dies. But we have Ezekiel that says, I will kill the soul. Jeff.
I was just talking about the lovey-dovey Moloch. It was one of the last things here in Malachi chapter 3.
Oh, yes. Zacharias, fantastic too, by the way.
And he says here, behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may be present to the Lord, offerings in righteousness.
Right. And Zechariah, we didn't get to that today, but I'm going to run to it real quickly. Then I'll try to call it quits. Zechariah. It's a very powerful section. Zechariah chapter 3 and Zechariah chapter 12. I want to go. He's talking about Zechariah. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 3. I've got to show you this. Zechariah
chapter 3
first. Now, it's awkward right reading here, so I'm going to add a phrase in here that's not there written in there, but it's important to so you understand what's going on, because the noun, how the verb is coming out, is kind of unusual. And I'm not saying that's how it is, but I'm saying I'm going to use it because to accentuate the angel of the Lord statement. All right? And it says here, chapter 3, verse 1, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before Malach Yahweh, and Satan standing at his right hand. And now Yahweh said unto Satan, The Lord Yahweh rebuke you, O Satan, even Yahweh that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you, not at the and is not the brand plucked out of the fire," meaning Joshua. "Now Joshua was clothed in filthy rags and stood before the angel." Angel means the angel of the Lord. "And he," and the angel of the Lord, "answered and spoke." I'm saying this angel of the Lord now speaking, not Yahweh. "Answered and said unto those who stood near him, saying, Take away the filthy rags from him, and unto him." He, the angel of the Lord, which I think is saying this, not talk, because he's facing the angel of the Lord. He's on the other side of the angel of the Lord. And he says, "And I have, behold, I have cursed the iniquity of, caused the iniquity of the past from you, and the clothes of your clean garment. And I said, Let them put clean garments on a turban on his head. So he put clean garments. So they put clean garments on his head, and they put out the clothes on him. And Melech Yahweh stood by. And Melech Yahweh admonished Joshua, saying," so this is a basic conversation between Joshua, and I mean, Melech Yahweh and Joshua. "And thus says Yahweh," now he's quoting Yahweh now, "of hosts, you, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then you shall also judge my house and also keep my courts, and I will give you a place to walk amongst, places to walk among those who stand, that stand by." But let's drop down and I'll go to chapter 12 quickly. Chapter 12. So you see, Melech Yahweh is there to do something there. He's there to protect this time, right? Okay, a high priest. Ready to protect the high priest. High priest had to be cleaned up. Downright filthy guy. Filthy in the sense of, but he means his spiritually he was unclean. And so he had to come spiritually clean. All right? Chapter 12. I want to read this. It's very, very fascinating. In that day, verse 8, chapter 12, verse 8, "In that day, Yahweh will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in the day shall be like David. And the house of David shall be like Elohim, like the..." A very powerful being, isn't it? You don't want to mess around with this guy. "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications." And this is the blessing that's going to be occurring. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him and mourn for the son," and so on and so forth. You don't need to go through that. Now, I want to go to another area, then we'll call it quits. I'm rattling through this thing very quickly because I think it's an important subject matter. I don't know whether you might get anything out of it. I hope you did. But it's something to knowing that don't think of the angelic world as one that just gives you a message. He's carrying out a message. He's dispatching the message. He's instituting the message. You understand what I'm saying? We see that throughout the entire Tanakh. Not just some little nice guy with little angel wings on him, you know, with a little bow and, you know, arrow and all that kind of stuff. That's satanic. The devil would like for you to picture that the angels of the eternal creator of heaven are a bunch of weak things. Little nice, cutie little things that float around heaven all day. He don't want you to know that they really have power. Your object is to carry out the word of the Lord. And one specific one has more apparent authority than all of them combined together. Then we already know his name, right? So I'm going to go to Proverbs. First chapter. And I've said this before, okay? In the book of Psalms, you don't have to go there. When you read the first chapter, the first chapter of Psalms, it explains to you what the rest of the book of Psalms is all about. The very first opening one tells you what the rest is all about. All right. Same thing here in Proverbs. The first chapter of Proverbs tells you everything what Proverbs had to say from that point on. So if you kind of grasp and picture in your mind what it's saying in the first chapter here, like in Genesis, the first chapter tells you everything, and then everything from there explained for the rest of all the way to the book of Revelation. Knowing to understand what's in the beginning. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instructions, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and instruction, to a wise man who will hear and increase in learning, to a man of understanding and wise counsel, to understand a proverb and enigma, and the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise the wisdom and instructions. Sometimes we don't really know what fear of the Lord really means. Why don't you go back to Exodus and find out what fear of the Lord is all about? Mm-hmm. In fact, why don't you do a new own private study about the angel of the Lord and see what fear is all about? Sure. My son, hear the instructions of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. I'm not going to explain what it means today. For they will be a graceful ornament around your head and a chain about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us irk secretly and the innocent blood without cause. Let us swallow them like a lie, like Sheol, and the hole, and those who go down in the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fulfill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have a pit. Let us have in one purse. My son, verse 15, do not walk in the ways of them. Keep your foot from the path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread and the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait in their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Wisdom, now this is very important, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the corners of the corners. She's the corners. And the openings of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. And this is what she is saying. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Do you know that wisdom is to correct you? Knowledge is to correct you. Understanding is to correct you. Do you know that? Sometimes we just won't want this stuff, but we need to know that when we ask this of God, and if you lack wisdom, ask of God, He gives abundantly, He's going to give you some corrections. How to live, how to walk, how to think, how to act. And I will make my words known to you. I will pour my spirit upon you. Because I have called on you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regards. Because you disdain all my counsels and would not have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your terror comes. Now, that doesn't sound fair, does it?
Just.
There's no mercy here. Did you notice? No mercy here. Can you picture the Creator of heaven and earth actually making fun of you? That's what it says. We like to think that God is a loving God. Yes, He is a loving God. But He also, remember, love in a relationship to what is written in the Torah, not love in a relationship that's written in Washington, D.C., or in Hollywood, or in love novels, or in love lives, you know, whatever it is. That's not the right word in Hebrew. All right? Very strong on this. Free of me. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress is amongst comes upon you, they will call upon me, and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but I'm not going to be there. He's going to hide himself. The spirit of wisdom is going to be gone. Because they hated knowledge, they did not rouse the fear of the Lord. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. Wisdom requires counsel. Mm-hmm. Not mine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Remember the angel of the Lord? Oh, you didn't do what I told you to do. You didn't take my account. You didn't take my butt. You didn't do anything. Guess what? I'm not going to protect you anymore. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Do you think he carried out the word of the Lord? Oh, yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. And if I leave anything with you today, know this, that an angel does not play games. Mm-hmm. Regardless how, if he is a, what they call an archangel, or the insignificant one that takes care of your little child. A nice little one. They're carrying out. They're not messengers. They carry out the functions that they were created to carry out. Mm-hmm. And I believe you me, they will do what they have been created to do. And they won't be an exception to the rule.